Today I'm speaking to Luke Taylor. You're the Liberal Democrat MP for Sutton and Cheam and your party spokesperson for London. Can we go straight to your fears about the Chinese embassy and for the people from Hong Kong who are living in Sutton?
Yeah, absolutely. And you and your listeners have heard me speak about it a number of times now. And really, it's a super embassy, and that's the concern. So the Chinese have an embassy in London, as they are absolutely, and I'm going to say welcome to, but, we need to be making sure we have these relations with countries all around the world just to make sure that their citizens are able to access services and things like that. But what the concern is that the proposal for a brand new Chinese embassy on the site of the old Royal Mint in Tower Hill is the concern is around the sheer size and the capability of that building and what it would provide for the Chinese state to be able to do in our capital city, particularly when there is ongoing repression against Hong Kongers in our country being conducted by the Chinese state. And that's the real concern, is that there have been bounties put on Hong Kong activists. There have been we saw the incident in Manchester where a protester was dragged into the site of the consulate there and had to be effectively rescued by policemen rather than being dragged inside the consulate there. So there's a real worry, particularly by Hong Konger residents, that this increased size of a building and increased capability that it will offer will mean that they are even more targeted, that the Chinese state has even more capability to crack down on their activities here. And that's a real worry. And residents are getting in touch with me about this. And we really want to make sure that the government thinks through fully the implications of the project of allowing this embassy to proceed. And ultimately what we want to do is we want them to say no, that the site and the size of the facility is just too high and the site is too risky.
Have Hong Kong residents in Sutton expressed specific concerns?
Yeah, so that we have a an individual in Sutton who has had this bounty applied to them. So there is a bounty on their head by Chinese, and I don't believe it's by the Chinese state themselves, but it is by those connected to the state, and they have the worry that they could be kidnapped or they could be disappeared off the street by those connected to the Chinese state. We have a number of prominent democracy activists in Sutton who have fled from Hong Kong due to the crackdown on democracy protests that took place there. They are genuinely really worried, genuinely concerned about what this huge increase in capability would mean for their safety. And I'm really proud to have those incredibly passionate activists as part of our community in Sutton. I'm doing whatever I can to help them feel safe and to stand up against the Chinese state.
Yeah. Has the embassy actually officially been approved, or is it still sort of on the backwaters of approvals?
It's not officially been approved, but I think the government is making the noises so that it becomes understood that it will get the approval. We know that the government has massive dependency on the Chinese state for trade, for support for our diplomacy around the world, and I think that there's a conflict of interest effectively in that the government cannot or they are choosing not to protect the interests of Hong Kongers here because they are dependent on giving China what it wants in so many other areas, and that's a real concern.
Okay, so moving on, devolution. You're arguing that London's current devolution settlement is outdated and inadequate, and you believe the city lacks key power to shape its future. We've got devolution everywhere at the moment. Obviously, devolution are going in with Surrey and East Sussex. What are your main fears?
Devolution was one of the well, London was one of the first places to get a regional mayor, a kind of what they call now this metro mayor. We were one of the first to get an assembly where we elect councillors to hold them to account, our assembly members. And the fear is that London has been left behind as devolution has developed elsewhere in the country, that better models have been developed, that slightly more effective ways of working have been brought in. So, for example, in Manchester, they have a very similar setup to London with a strong mayor, but what they have is a body where council leaders sit on the combined authority, and they are able to contribute to the policy making. They're able to contribute to what the mayor should be doing, and they're able to really provide that direct feedback for what they feel is the best way to do it. London has just a single strong mayor who has no real contribution from the assembly members to policy making. They are very much about scrutinizing what he intends to do. So I've put in an amendment to the devolution bill, which is being discussed today and tomorrow in Parliament. What I want to see and what London councils want to see is that voice for London councils directly to the mayor, and powers for those council leaders to contribute to what's happening in London. We want to bolster the powers of the GLA too. We want to see more ability for them to, and again, it's not being combative. It's about kind of coming up with better plans, really improving what the mayor might want to do, working together more closely. And I think that that is always going to end up with better policy being made rather than having power being handed to, in this case at the moment for the last, 27 years, to one man, which I don't think is the best way to do it.
So what you're saying is every council, even though they're all in London, they all have different needs. So you want those needs to be brought to the table so that every council can say, like, Hammersmith Bridge, the traffic in Putney,
Precisely.
you want every council to have a representation to the mayor about what their specific council needs.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly it. And I think through that experience, through that collaboration, you just get better policy. You get better lobbying of not just the mayor himself, but of government, because London needs to make sure that we get what we need from the government in terms of funding, in terms of investment in infrastructure. So having representatives of those 32 London boroughs, and it wouldn't be all of them, it would be the leadership that sit with the London Council's organisation. It would mean that you just get much, much more of a link between the councils, who are so critical to delivering the vast majority of services that residents rely on. They're delivered by their local town hall, their local councillors. Those council leaders are best placed to really understand what the mayor needs to be focusing on. So making that case, making that link more effective is what I want to do, and hopefully we'll see the government back that. I don't hold up too much hope
Well, I think it's a case of watch this space, isn't it? Shall we
though.
go on to tool thefts? The
Yes.
tool thefts are a real problem. Is it a lack of policing? What do you think the main issue is here?
Oh, it's a really frustrating one because it is so complex. So tool theft is being impacted, or the increase in tool theft and the impact on local tradespeople is being affected by the lack of police resources. So there just aren't enough police officers either on the street to deter criminals from trying to take advantage of vans being out overnight and breaking into them. And then there aren't enough police officers and staff to investigate, to go through proper forensic investigations to try and catch the people responsible. There's problems with vehicle security. So the vans that are being manufactured and marketed to tradespeople do not have the sufficient security to put off thieves from targeting them. And we think that there's a huge responsibility for the vehicle manufacturers themselves to do better at providing safe vehicles for tradespeople. We've got problems with stolen tools being sold at car boot sales. We know that there is a lack of enforcement on how tools are distributed. So it's far too easy for those stolen tools to end up with a seller who's got a. And I was talking to a police officer last week, and they said that quite often they will have tools that are bought from police auctions. They'll have a receipt for a big set of tools, and then the seller at a car boot sale will just have this receipt. Oh, it's mixed tools or a container of tools or a box of tools, and then that receipt is just used over and over again as a proof for that they've come across these tools in a legal way, when I think most of the time we know very much that they haven't. So having trading standards, having police going into car boot sales and holding the sellers to account, I think is really important as well. Because, you know, if you cut off the demand for stolen tools by not being able to sell it, then you disrupt the supply chain and hopefully end up with tool thefts going down. But there's also challenges over the justice system. So when they do catch someone and say that they've managed to investigate them, and then they get them and they charge them, you know, you've got years of wait before they're in court and being sentenced and held to account. And I think at each point, I wish there was a silver bullet to fix the whole thing. But what I am doing is trying to focus on the things that I can influence in Parliament. And what me and my team, I think, are looking into in more detail is the responsibility of the vehicle manufacturers to make those vehicles safe, and also on cracking down on the selling of the tools at car boot sales. So those are where we're going to be focusing our effort over the next few months, and trying to work out what we can do to really help our hardworking local tradespeople to keep their tools and not be such a, you know, such easy victims to these awful criminals.
Have any of them tried using tracker devices in their tools? I mean, you get these now AirTag trackers. You can track your luggage all over the world. Is there some way they can use them, hide them somewhere in their tools that they could track them if they go missing?
Yeah, there's all sorts of things that tradesmen can do. They can if they register some of the tools, then those that have proper serial numbers, they can go onto a register. They can mark them with security water, and then when the police recover stolen tools, they can try and match those back to the original owner. Trackers is something that the worry about things like that is it becomes a technology solution. And what you then do is you're not focusing on stopping it from happening in the first place. And I think the worry would always be that the criminals would be that slightly bit smarter and they'd be able to deactivate the trackers or take them out or, but it is absolutely things that, there are initiatives by the police and by tool manufacturers. But what we need to do is just make sure that they're more accessible to tradespeople, and that they are properly effective, so that we can actually help them keep hold of their stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're approaching the budget soon. Nice little story. Green Earth Gardens is one of your local SMEs. They've got Landscaper of the Year. How are your small business owners approaching the budget? With fear, with trepidation? What are they coming to you with?
So the landscaper of the year, Jamie, I was really honoured to be able to attend the Chequer Trade Awards on Wednesday night, where he was given his trophy for landscaper of the year. I'd also give a mention to Ross Roberts of Roberts Roofing, who was nominated in one of the other categories. He didn't win, unfortunately, but he had a great night, and it was really good to see those two, you know, incredibly hardworking, talented local tradespeople who've built these companies, who have really excelled. Clearly, they are loved by their customers. They got fantastic reviews, and that's how they found their way into these finals. It's how Chequer Trade set the award. They both were brilliant. I think when it comes to the budget, lots of people are really concerned about the cost of living. They are seeing fewer pounds and pence in their pockets, which means they're not going out to the high street, which means they're not shopping. So you've got the individual impact, but then that has an impact on the shops on the high street, right? We've got incredibly important local businesses. The one I refer to all the time is the Sound Lounge on Sutton High Street. And when I talk to them, they say they've got more people coming in through the doors. They're having more people coming to their events, but they're not spending. So you know, people are just buying a lemonade rather than two or three pints, which they might have done in the past. And that's because people don't have the money in their pockets, and the shops and the venues that are still having to pay out higher costs in food cost inflation. They've got the really frustrating national insurance rise that the government brought in last year, so they're having to pay their staff or pay more for their staff. That is really challenging. And just all everything just feels like it's feeling, you know, that they're not feeling the benefit. You know, they're working hard, they're going out, they're just not seeing that boost in their pockets. So one of the things the Liberal Democrats has called for, and this is our big headline policy for the budget, but what we want the government to do is a 5% cut in VAT on hospitality, so that when you do go out, when you have a treat in over Christmas on your high street, you're giving that boost to your pocket, and you're more likely then to be spending in local businesses. So I think that's really, really important. What my fears are for the budget, I worry that the government will end up doing all these tiny little things all over the place, little tweaks and changes here and there, and freezing this and extending that. And it won't end up raising the money that they need, that we all need to provide the public services that we all rely on. We've talked about tool theft, and tool theft's a problem because there aren't enough police officers. The Met Police is cutting or cut 1,419 staff last year to this year. You know, that's fewer police officers going out and solving crimes. That's because public services aren't being supported. So I think the worry is that it's all these little changes that won't really solve the problem that we're facing, and we won't see the benefit. We won't see the boost to the economy. We won't see the boost to people's pockets that we want to see when they need to be more confident, they need to be braver, and they need to be, you know, fixing the fundamental problems.
I think people are very feared in every direction, from, landlords to people who own property to small businesses. Do you think she's going to pull some sort of rabbit out the hat to allay everybody's fears and get this country going forward again with growth?
I would love to see a rabbit out of a hat. I think we're all going to be frustrated. I think we're all going to be disappointed. You know, we all benefit when the government succeeds. I want the government to succeed. My job as an opposition MP is to hold them to account and push them to do the things that we think would be more effective ways to achieve their goals. I hope that I'm doing that, and the Liberal Democrats are doing that, and that's why we're engaging with this in as a positive a way as possible. I just worry that come Wednesday afternoon, we'll all be looking at each other and thinking, well, you know, not sure how that helps anyone really.
And I think it's going to take more than just Wednesday afternoon. I think it's going to drip feed through Thursday and Friday. So I look forward to speaking to you in maybe a week's
Absolutely,
time, and we can
yes.
touch base on what has happened and whether our predictions or not predictions have come to fruition.
Yeah.
So thank you, Luke. Thank you again for speaking to me. Look
Thank you,
forward to
Jackie.
speaking to you again. Take care. Bye for now.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.